Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Glad to see you today. Hump day, midway through the week, if I got it right. First, May Day.
May Day, yes.
You know, maybe it is May Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because maybe it's the day that we, go ahead and kiss our tookus goodbye because, what was it, the chief of NATO? Confirmed Ukraine will become a NATO nation, which is the one thing.
Yep, it is the Rubicon, Bill. It is the Rubicon that you weren't supposed to cross, you know?
Because Russia made it clear that that, under no circumstances, is going to happen. If it does, it means war. And they even made the threat earlier in the week that, you know, by the way, you know, we are this close. You do one thing that puts us to war.
Yeah.
We will nuke the United States and the UK off the freaking planet.
Okay, so, if you don't know what we're talking about, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg confirmed that the Ukraine will become, it's going to become, a member of NATO. It's just a matter of time. They're getting all the groundwork done. Here's what he said.
Ukraine's rightful place is in NATO.
Ukraine
will become a member of NATO. The work we are undertaking now puts you on an irreversible path towards NATO membership. So that when the time is right, Ukraine can become a NATO member straight away.
Unbelievable. This guy, first of all, Jens Stoltenberg, you know, odds are they're not going to go, the first thing they're going to do is not bomb his country. They're going to bomb our country. You know, I mean,
well, you know, they want the United States gone, or, you know, they want us gone now, you know, and there's powers that be that want us gone. You know, then we're doing population replacement. If you don't think it's that, then you're blind and you better go, you know, take a few steps back and reassess every step of what's gone on since Biden. I mean, a lot of the stuff was in play before, but since Biden has been into the White House, they have they've turned that spigot wide open.
This is the one line that everybody knew you weren't supposed to cross. You weren't supposed to make Ukraine a NATO country. It was for Russia a line of demarcation you weren't supposed to walk across. But, you know, these people are bound and determined to get us deeper and deeper into war. You probably heard this. Zelensky is saying that we're not just giving him money now. We're working on a 10-year plan to give Ukraine money on a regular basis. And he's also saying that it'll be money that can't be pulled back by subsequent presidents in the future, meaning it'll be locked in. It'll be irreversible, you know? I find that hard to believe.
I find it hard to believe, too. But you know what? He may not get that money. You know why?
What?
The very thing that we're talking about could make the United States a skid mark on the planet.
Yeah. Well,
we like to think that we can do it to everybody else. But, you know, there's enough big boys out there that are bad boys, by our definition, that could do exactly what we, you know, who wins when you get into a nuclear war? Please explain to me who is going to win.
Nobody's going to win. It's an unwinnable scenario. It's just not going to have any winners because we let go of one missile, they let go of one missile. It's mutual annihilation. It's as simple as that. You know, nobody's going to walk out and say we beat the U.S. or the U.S. beat us. That's not going to happen. Nuclear war is a war that we've never seen before. As a people, and here we are talking about it like it's no big deal. We have some real fatheads in politics in Washington. We really do. We have some people down there who just haven't got a friggin' clue. You know, one of the terms they use is collateral damage. I always love that, collateral damage. This is a term that the intelligence groups use. You know, when they say, well, you know, we fired on them, they fired on us. There was collateral damage, but all in all, we won. Collateral damage is innocent people. innocent people died, you know, collateral damage. They don't want to say what it really is. They don't want to they don't want to admit to their failures, you know, and what they've done. So they soften it with language. Language means a lot. They soften it with language, you know. Well, you know, it was collateral damage that took out that city, but it wasn't a big city. It was a small city. So, hey, it could have been worse. It could have been a big city, you know.
But you know what? I think we've been prepped for this for a long time because my interpretation, you have nuclear war, the planet's aglow, it's useless for, I mean, centuries.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a big planet. It's a bigger planet than you can imagine. I mean, if we took out Russia and Russia took out us, there's still a lot of usable land in this world. There's still a lot of, you know, places that people can...
But why do we want to take out Russia and out the United States?
Normal, healthy, intelligent, serious people don't want to do that. But these are some of these people, Bill, I really believe this, are evil. They really are evil. To be doing and thinking about what they're thinking about doing.
You know, going to Hollywood, you know, and some of the stuff, you know, you see all these sci-fi, they go, well, they do anything, Bill. Well, I'm just saying, it's almost like it's been foretold, and Hollywood is an arm of a political left movement. But like in the Star Trek series, they used to talk about the Federation, which is basically a one-world government. But how it became was after a nuclear war where it almost ended life set in their timeline right about this timeline, which is kind of a weird coincidence. But, you know, and if you look at the news, boy, you know, somehow fiction is becoming reality.
Yeah. Well, you can only hope that more sane people are really at the final end of the decision-making process.
Well, Jim, we do have sane people, insane people at the decision-making process.
No, I didn't say insane.
I
said sane people are at the decision-making because there are some real fatheads who think it's a video game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They think this whole thing is a video game, and they don't think of the victims from a war like this. What amazes me, and I've said this on this show before, we have these pacifists in this country who are saying that we shouldn't be involved with Israel. We shouldn't be involved with Israel because of their attack on Gaza, the poor innocent people in Gaza. Mind you, it was the Hamas Gaza people who attacked Israel first and killed a lot of innocent people who hadn't even had breakfast yet. But that's neither here nor there. We're told that war's bad. We really shouldn't be involved. We're a civilized country. But then we turn around in the next breath and we give billions more dollars to a war that most experts will tell you is unwinnable. At the very least, by giving them the money, we keep ourselves in the game. We keep the war going, you know? That to me is mind-boggling. Why we are involved in this Ukraine war is beyond me. You know, Russia supposedly hasn't even put the full court press on yet. You know, they haven't even put the whole effort, you know, military effort behind this war. You know, and we think that we have a chance to win. Nah,
are no winners in a nuclear war.
No, I'm talking about the regular war in the Ukraine.
The regular war. Yeah, we're not going to win that.
Yeah, well, they have a bunch of people over there who are telling the people over here, the politicians, to keep sending money so that they can win the war in the Ukraine. And I don't know how it's going to be winnable. I mean, they just increased the draft age. You know, they had a certain age level, and I guess they ran out of bodies in that age level, so they've gone up a bit to get a slightly older group of people who can be drafted into the service. I mean, they're running out of bodies to, you know, perform this war. And, you know, they have a bunch of weird hawks. That's the term, hawks. Behind them who just want this war to continue. the Victoria Nulands of the world. She's not involved, I guess, now. I guess she resigned her position, but she had been involved with getting us into the Ukraine situation and encouraged our participation. She's one of those bureaucrats who was not elected into the position, but has been in high-level positions in government for years. And yeah. She was somebody who encouraged the war to happen and then to encourage the war to expand. You know, and she'll, and then about 3 or 4 months ago, I guess maybe it was 6 months ago, she resigned her position and kind of pulled back, like, okay, I've done my damage. I'm going to just fade away into the woodwork. So, you know, you can't blame it on
it's
me.
It's amazing how we can have people in positions that we don't elect that just get appointed there, and they have so much power and control to do so much damage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, look at Henry Kissinger back in the 70s. Henry Kissinger was unelected, but he was incredibly powerful, you know.
Yeah, and I don't know that that's right that, you know, there should be anybody that's appointed that can be, you know, like a mole, you know, that just can't, but it's a cancerous mole that you just can't cut away, and it doesn't go away, and it can sit there for years and do its damage and venom, and there's nothing we can do about it.
See, that's the thing we got to get rid of in this, in the future, in our government. We've got to somehow get a presidency in there that just rips these lifelong bureaucrats out of the system and starts putting in some honest, you know, patriotic people into positions, people who will do the job for the sake of the country, not for the sake of their own, you know, well-being.
That is a problem right now because, you know, you look at Joe Biden is not a viable candidate in my mind. You know, he's not a viable candidate. Mm-hmm. Trump should have been reelected. I think he was, but he was yanked from him. And he should have been able to fulfill his full presidency. And by now things would be, I know it would be a lot better.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, they're doing everything they can to wound Trump. And everything else. He's only going to get one shot to come back in this fall and finish up, which should have been in the process right now. And, you know, you might go, people might argue, well, Trump is getting a little old too. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, but you know what? He's still got the wherewithal to go all the way through and do it, because if we don't have him, well, we don't have somebody that's ready to go ahead and go back, fix, and finish the job that has to be done. Does that make sense?
No, it does. And I think Trump is smart enough where he's going to put somebody in the vice president position who is going to be a real real good fit. I mean, even though they had their disagreements during the primary campaign season, DeSantis would be probably a strong fit for vice president because even though they kind of hate to admit it, they are on the same page politically, you know, and DeSantis has age to his benefit. And Trump knows that. Trump knows that. So I think you're going to see somebody like DeSantis being picked for that position because Trump, you know, he doesn't pick his people based upon, like, popularity. He picks them based upon qualifications, you know. Now, even Mike Pence was, at the time they picked Pence,
seemed like a good candidate.
Well, he seemed like a good candidate. And President Trump didn't know anybody in Washington. He knew nobody, and he knew of Pence, but he didn't know Pence. And that's the difference. And I think that, you know, that was a mistake because he got some bad information, some bad intel. You don't find that out, by the way, in the beginning of your administration. You find out as the administration progresses. Pence was never really a fan of President Trump. You don't do what he did to President Trump at the very end and turn around and say, well, I was a fan of President Trump. I don't think you do anyway. If you were a fan of the guy, you believed in what he was doing, you would have done the right thing at the end, and Pence didn't do it. And to this day, Pence thinks he did the right thing, which is a joke.
Trump runs everything like a business, But the one mistake that I think he made in a business, when you go in to take over something, you have got people that are bent on tripping you up. I know, because I've been there before with companies buying other companies, and you come in, and I developed early on a theory that I called the grenade theory. And that is, you know, when you go in, you blow it all up. Everybody's job is on the line, and, you know, basically you're going to have to reapply for your job. It doesn't mean that you lose everything. It just means I want to know if you're with me or against me. Because if you're against me, or you're not, you know, going to go the way that the company line's going to be towed, you know, hey, it's been nice talking to you. Here's your severance pay. Good luck. And there's the door. And don't let it hit you on the way out. And that sounds mean and cruel, but, you know, when you get stabbed in the back a few times, you learn your lesson. And, I mean, it happens quick when those back...
A lot of guys do that. A lot of guys, especially in broadcasting, will do it. They'll go into a new situation, and they'll be like the vice president of programming for the group of stations, and they will make mass changes, you know, all throughout their network of stations. Sometimes you'll keep a guy, but other times they'll ask the guy who's in the position to move on, you know. But anyway, interesting thing happened in New York yesterday. First of all,
NYPD.
I want to play this cut here. This is amazing. Yesterday afternoon, you know, they took over a building at Columbia, these protesters, pro-Hamas. And so a spokesperson, this is a doctoral student, right? She walks out and she has her Hamas bandana around her. And by the way, her last name is Slutsky. And I'm thinking to myself,
boy.
Her name is like, it's like King-Slutsky, you know? So she... She married a Jewish guy. But, you know, why is it that so many people, so many Jewish people in New York feel like they have to apologize for being Jewish, you know? There are a lot of apologists. I mean, it's just the way a lot of them are. They're supporting Hamas. Out in Hollywood, they're supporting Hamas.
Well, how old is she, do you think? How old is she, do you think?
That woman who was at the door, you mean?
Yeah.
I'd say she's probably around 24, 25.
Okay, so 24, you know, let's just go back 24 years, 2000. What has happened that she would remember in her lifetime? Let's say 20 years. Let's even make it down 15 years between Palestine and Israel. Yes, there's been stuff, but
They don't have a point of reference like we have.
Right, that's right. What I'm saying. They don't know. They haven't learned the history. They don't know everything. So I can maybe get the fact that she's going, why are we doing this? I apologize for everything. You can't apologize for history, babe.
She's not apologizing. This is what she's doing here. She's standing at the door to this occupied building, and she's saying that she needs the school to provide water and food to the occupiers. Listen to what she says.
Why should the university be obligated to provide food to people who have taken over a building?
First of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
But you mentioned that there was a request that food and water be brought in, unless I misunderstood.
To allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
But they did put themselves in that very deliberately in that situation and in that position. So it seems like you're sort of saying, we want to be revolutionaries, we want to take up this building. Now would you please bring us food and water?
Nobody's asking them to bring anything. We're asking them to not violently stop us from bringing in basic humanitarian aid.
They're stopping the delivery of food?
We are looking for a commitment from them that they will not stop it violently.
But they haven't stopped it yet.
Well, I don't know to what extent it has been attempted, but we're looking for a commitment.
You know, amazing. They took over a building, okay? Mm-hmm. They took over a friggin' building, and then they turn around to the school and say, okay, now we have the building, and you can't have it back, but we'd like you to ship some water and food in to us.
Yeah, I'd like some pizza,
and,
you know.
She says, we're students who have a meal plan. Well, you can get your meal anytime you want over at the cafeteria, over at the food center, not delivered to you in the occupied building, you know. But these people are from another planet. She says, you know, I can't believe we're on an Ivy League campus. Let me tell you something, lady. That's not something to brag about anymore. It isn't.
Well, NYPD has declared it a riot. So.
Well, I got some audio on that, too. Channel 2, they were reporting on this last night. This started last night during Hannity's program. I got a couple of cuts. First from Channel 2. It's a little hard to hear, but you can get an idea, a sense of what's going on.
Sorry, protesters are now seeming to clash with police on the other side of where this is all happening. I am now seeing one of the gates at campus be open. So now the police on both sides entering this location outside campus where the barricades are. Police are coming through. Protesters somewhat are clearing out a little bit, or at least, you know, leaving this direct area because it was appearing that they were putting some into custody who were blocking them from entering the main gate of campus. Even more, you know, these ones have their batons in hand, their helmets on here, and are lining up right outside of the gate here as well.
You know,
you have people on the sidewalks moving out of the way chanting.
Allie, I'm just from the little bits that I'm seeing on screen, I thought I was getting an impression from the gate that there was more than just a couple of students leaving the campus, that there might have been what you might call a slight stream of students leaving the campus. So perhaps with the police moving in, some are moving out. I see behind these officers, I'm seeing some people walk away. I don't know whether they're being taken away, but it is possible.
You know, sometimes these reporters can be more of a hindrance than a help. They're saying stuff that you can see just by watching the video, you know?
Right.
So do we have to have somebody standing in the middle of a crowd of rioting people saying, well, I'm in the middle of a rioting crowd and the police have their batons and their shields. What do you expect them to have? You know, of course they do. And we can see it, you know?
Yeah, if they didn't have that, the police would be getting, you know, clobbered with something. So, yeah, they got to do it, but I don't know. You know, these kids, they look at all the rights they have, but that is private property.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, their freedom of speech and everything that they think that they got ended when they walked on that property.
Well, the Jewish students on that campus have as much of a right to everything on that campus as any of the protesters, maybe more.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, when they're talking about all of this and they want to talk about their freedoms, no, they... You know, they're on private property, and what they've done, they've given up pretty much those rights. Those certain protections they think they have, they actually don't. Now, some of that's in the hands of Columbia University. Of,
uh-huh.
You know, what they declare, are these students still welcome guests there, or are they trespassers? Because, and I would say at the point in time they did what they did, they're trespassers. But it's Columbia that's got to decide.
A lot of the students... who are protesting aren't students, okay? They're
right.
just not pro. They're not students at Columbia. They are people who were bussed in to the campus, and they caused the problem. They instigated.
So if they check these people when they arrest, do you have your student ID? You don't have a student ID. Well, then you're no longer a protester. You're a terrorist.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Sean Hannity had a bit last night. They were breaking into that building that's occupied last night during his show. Listen.
Watching this now unfold, what we're witnessing here, Mr. Speaker, is an extremely dangerous police operation. They're now trying to get into the building. I believe that has to be Hamilton Hall that was taken over by students last night. And you can see they're outside one of the windows to the building. They have no idea what they're facing on the other side of this. And again, I go back to the reality is that none of these students will end up getting punished. Maybe the worst case scenario, based on what the president of Columbia has said, maybe a suspension on a lot of these college campuses, Mr. Speaker. You know, God forbid you use the wrong the police now have entered the building. As you can see, one officer is in. A second officer now is climbing through the window. Others are standing by. They're following in suit. What is going to go on inside that building is you know, anybody's, it could be up to anybody's imagination. What danger they may face on the other side, nobody knows. What we do know is that any students that end up getting arrested there probably are not going to be punished in New York. An extraordinarily dangerous situation. And my last question, Mr. Speaker, where is the president of our country tonight?
Yeah, that's true. You know, what was interesting is if
taking a nap.
That's true. There were multiple buses in the videos last night. You can see them. Multiple buses filled with arrested students last night. You know, what does this do to these students in the long run? Will they have it on their record permanently? You know, are they going to have are they going to really arrest them, or like Sean said, release them at the station? You know, what do you think?
They're probably going to be. I think they're going to be released. Now, my contention is, what they did is historic, and it was wrong. And I'm not saying that, you know, you need to be punished forever for it, but, you know, that was a stain you brought on yourself. So it should be duly noted and forever known, you know. And I think that they need to do stuff. If they come around and they're thinking, they need to do stuff to make up for what they did. You know, there's always got to be restitution for, you know, when you commit a crime. If you don't,
you know, there are some people who were protesters in 1968 who have gone to the site to in solidarity with the protesters. There are some people that no matter how old they get, no matter how much life experience they have, they don't friggin' learn. You know, they're as dumb today as they were in 1968. Okay? Unbelievable. Representative Virginia Fox is from North Carolina, and she was speaking in Washington yesterday. I want you to hear what she said.
I want to thank the speaker also for making this an all of the House issue. It is an all the House issue. It's an issue for our country. As Republican leaders, we have a clear message for mealy-mouthed, spineless college leaders. Congress will not tolerate your dereliction of duty to your Jewish students. American universities are officially put on notice that we have come to take our universities back. I applaud the speaker for expanding the Committee on Education and Workforce's ongoing investigation into a Congress-wide initiative. No stone must go unturned while buildings are being defaced, campus greens are being captured, or graduations are being ruined. College is not a park for play-acting juveniles or a battleground for radical activists. Everyone affiliated with these universities will receive a healthy dose of reality. Actions have consequences. One of those consequences is that I have given notice to appear to Yale, UCLA, and Michigan to appear before the Education and Workforce Committee on May 23rd for a hearing on their handling of these most recent outrages. I look forward to working with my fellow House leaders on additional action to address these riots.
Only thing I wish is that Representative Fox would have the president from Columbia on that list, too, but she didn't mention Columbia. You know, another thing is last night, UCLA. I don't know whether you heard about this.
Oh, yeah, that was true. I have that notes here, yeah.
Well, be my guest. Jump in.
Well, hang on. Let me go right to it. Apparently, there was a student there. I think it's Korean Jewish lady, and she had an Israeli flag. And they went and they bludgeoned her in the head. They stomped on her until she was unconscious and had to... take her away. But, you know, the hate to sit there and stomp somebody in the ground just because you don't like them, you don't agree with them, or it's not even them that you disagree with. You're going like, well, you know, I'm sorry, you're Jewish, so we're going to that is
hey,
just
Bill, she was so badly hurt, when she came out of the unconsciousness, she didn't recognize her parents.
Yeah,
she was really hurt, this little girl.
This seems to be going on a lot, you know, that these young people are just, well, stomp them. You know what? That's not American. That is pure evil. And, you know, if I had any say in it, if you did something like that, you know, I would sit there and say, you know what? You know, you're a barbarian.
You know,
we don't have barbarians in this country. Now, I would actually, that was attempted murder as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. I was watching the video of the police in New York lining up and marching towards the crowd, and I was thinking, they don't pay those guys enough. Seriously. You know, here they are in a city that wants to cut back on the monies going to the police. You know, defund police, all of this crap, and these guys, when they're told, all right, put your riot gear on and meet out by the truck because you're going to walk into the crowd and you're going to arrest these troublemakers, and we don't know what they have over there, but you're going to go into that crowd and you're going to arrest them anyway because that's your job. I don't think we pay these guys enough. We should definitely thank them at every opportunity for doing what they do because they do something that most people would not want to do. You know,
right now, protest, you know, they're being supplied the bodies to protest. I mean, all these protesters are not, you know, students. At what point in time are they going to go beyond supplying them with just bodies and they start supplying them with weapons?
Well, and maybe some, you know, that's an interesting,
nasty weapons.
Yeah, that's an interesting
like bombs.
Thing. Well, you know what they do supply them with? Many times they supply them with frozen bottles of water. So if the, you know, they may say, well, they're just bottles of water that we freeze so that it's cooler throughout the day. No, they freeze them so that when you throw them, it's like throwing a rock at the police. You know, during the BLM riots, there were pallets of brand new bricks that were shipped into the riot area and placed in the street. They were delivered and dropped off in the street. Are we supposed to think that was just a coincidence? Who drops off a pallet of bricks, you know, in a riot area unless they're weapons, you know?
Case I'm getting to is that, you know, they're doing the water right now. They're going to up that game at some point in time. It might be guns. It might be a suitcase bomb.
Yeah, Bill, we don't know what... We don't know what their end game is. We don't know what the other side's end game is. Here's what we do know is that they've invested thousands of dollars in these riots already. I mean, seriously, tens of thousands of dollars.
Hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. It didn't just happen. A riot in New York and a riot in New Haven and a riot in Boston and a riot in Philadelphia and a riot in Los Angeles, they didn't just spring up by coincidence. They were all intentional. They were all planned. They were all set up. The people were in place. They sent different busloads of anarchists to different cities to be the core of the operation. When they arrest all these people in New York and they process them, I would love to find out how many of them are not Columbia University students. You know,
they're probably going to do the best they can to cover up that information as much as they can. They don't want you to know because I would say the overwhelming percentage is not students.
You know, they've got to take pictures. They've got to take pictures of these kids, the ones who have masks on, who are trying to hide. Mm. There has to be some way to identify them in the future. To say, oh, that person was a troublemaker at Columbia back in 2024.
Let me tell you something. They have the capabilities, and they probably have pictures now, and they know exactly who they are. And my case in point is the so-called insurrection. You know, back in the inauguration, they had cameras all over, and people that weren't, you know, that happened to be in D.C. and they happened to be a Republican, they were tracked by their cell phone. Well, yeah, we had footage from that camera over there. See on that telephone pole. And they were able to do that, and they posted the pictures online.
Bill, did you ever hear about how many people were arrested for January 6th who were leftists, who were Democrats?
Not a single damn one.
They were all from the right, I guess.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So there were foul players in there from the left, but they were untouched, unscathed.
Yeah.
So if they sit there and give you that bull crap that we can't identify them, then you better take everybody you're holding for January 6th and release them and forgive them of your sins, not theirs, because it's you.
Hey, another thing I heard, this is a different subject, but I thought it was interesting. Do you know who's producing the Democratic National Convention? Who's going to be the producer? Steven Spielberg. Why in the name of God would a guy who has had such a successful kind of neutral career, you know, why would he just throw it all to the wind and become a partisan hack for the Democratic National Convention?
Well, I hope, in true legacy for him, that's a big giant step into R2 doo-doo, because I'm sorry.
Did you say R2 doo-doo?
R2 doo-doo, yeah. What's shiny and sits in the grass, R2 doo-doo. But anyway, or a Democrat, either way. What?
Well, all I can tell you is he is stepping into uncharted waters. You know,
they want to do a big futuristic production. They want to, you know,
do a hell of a lot to put some sparkle on Joe Biden's campaign. I'm just saying.
Well, they're going to make it like they're boldly going where no campaign has gone before
The
future. And, you know, you got to wonder out there, you know, what are we working for? You know, and the Democrats want to pose this euphoric thing out there. You know, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Well, that's the Democrat way. Nobody has to work. It's all there for you. Everything in life is free. And we're going to give trillions of dollars to all this aid and everything. Oh, don't worry about it. We're really paying down the debt. Wink, wink, nod, nod. You know, we're printing the money because we still have ink to print. Come on. This is ridiculous.
Well, there's a lot of people who will tell you that there are people in Hollywood who are nervous as can be right now at the possibility of a Trump presidency because they have lived sinful lives. Okay, I'm trying to say this diplomatically. They have participated in child sex trafficking, things like that. And now they're afraid that if Trump gets into office, there might be some kind of penalty that they're going to have to pay. So they're doing a heck of a lot, all they can, to stop him from being successful. And I don't know anything about Spielberg. You'd like to think that he's a decent guy, but I don't know. You know, we don't know these guys. It's like the politicians in Washington. We don't know these guys. All we know is their persona. You know, I used to think Spielberg was a fantastic director. I'd probably have told you this. My one scene that was filmed was directed by Steven Spielberg when I was doing that work in Jaws when I was young and strong and handsome and virile. He said modestly. But he seemed like a decent guy. He was a young guy. He was only about a year and a half older than me, and here he was directing the movie. The subsequent movies that came along, you know, the Indiana Jones series and Close Encounters, they were all pretty good movies, all very good movies, actually. But he's gotten very comfortable, and his movies recently haven't been all that effective, in my estimation. You know, they're kind of, you know, so-so, if you know what I mean. As a matter of fact, I would say if you asked me who the best directors in Hollywood are now, There's a young director named Antoine Fuqua, who is from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He's a terrific, terrific director. He's directed a lot of the, what the heck are the movies, Equalizer movies with Denzel Washington. And
now, is he the guy that really has no, no big education in the film? He's just a natural?
Well, no, actually, you know who that is. That's Guy Ritchie. That was the other guy.
Guy Ritchie, yeah.
That was the other guy, Bill, that I was going to mention. Guy Ritchie, who, by the way, used to be Madonna's husband, right? And Madonna never forgave him for, you know, leeching on to her. You know, he was an opportunist, she says. But the thing about, you know, the thing about Guy Ritchie is you have to be able to perform. You know, he is a superb director. He did all of the Sherlock Holmes movies. He's done a, you want to see an action movie?
Mm-hmm.
He's right up there. He and Fuqua are right up there. They are really good directors. But Spielberg, who used to be in that, at that strata, in that, in my opinion, he's not there anymore. Now, maybe that'll change. Maybe he'll come along with something. I think what happens is they get fat and sassy. You know, Spielberg directed Schindler's List, which was a good movie. He also directed Saving Private Ryan, which was superb. Maybe the best World War II movie ever made.
This might be his run for the roses, but you know what? It's a Hollywood production, and that's how they want it. It is not the reality. It's what they want you to perceive as reality, and that's what he's going to go and try to portray that, you know, forget about this. You know, let me show you what it's going to be.
You know, I was reading something yesterday.
Umbrella.
I was reading something yesterday, which was really funny. When the Academy Awards first came out back in 1929, how they used to present them is these big executives and big actors in Hollywood would rent out a big hall, you know, and they'd close it off. They wouldn't have the press there. They wouldn't have radio there. They would just have themselves there, and they would. It was almost a laughable thing. They almost made light of it because here are all these rich, famous people, you know, and they're giving each other this little trophy like it's a big deal, you know. It was not thought big of. It grew into something else by itself. It took on a life of its own, especially when media picked up on it. Media does that. Media will take hold of something that is insignificant, and it will focus on it. For example, I said this to my wife the other day, the NFL draft. You didn't care about the NFL draft 15, 20 years ago. I mean, it was out there. Some sports fans were paying attention, but it wasn't this big production. Now if you watch ABC Network News during the NFL draft at nighttime, it's a big production. Thousands of people are there, and they have all of these different. The way they present it is done in a real fancy way, and they've made something out of nothing. And that's what they did with the Academy Awards back in the 30s and the 40s. It developed into something which now, cripes, you know, he's an Academy Award winner. He has an Oscar. Oh my God! Do you know they have to buy those, Bill? Do you know that when they give them to him, right? They have to pay for them.
Well, yeah.
They don't get them for free. You know, you want an Academy Award, here it is. Now, that'll be $300.
I'm sure they're more than $300, you know, because Hollywood, you know, it might be $3,000. Soon it'll be $30,000, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of Hollywood, Jerry Springer was being interviewed on a podcast. And that's Jerry Springer. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I thought he was dead.
He is dead.
That would be a hell of an interview.
Slap me with a brick. I meant Jerry Seinfeld. He was being interviewed recently, and he was talking about the state of TV comedy right now. And I totally agree with him. TV comedy right now stinks.
It does.
It really does. Listen to Jerry Seinfeld. This guy would know.
It used to be you would go home at the end of the day. Most people would go, oh, Cheers is on. Oh, MASH is on. Oh, Mary Tyler Moore is on. All in the Family's on. You just expected there'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it? This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to see stand-up comics because we are not policed by anyone. The audience polices us. We know when we're off track. Mm-hmm. We know instantly, and we adjust to it instantly. But when you write a script and it goes into four or five different hands, committees, groups, here's our thought about this joke, well, that's the end of your comedy.
Have you had that experience?
No.
Because isn't that what Curb is all about?
Yeah. Larry was grandfathered in. He's old enough that I don't have to observe those rules because I started before you made those rules.
But what he's saying is nowadays when they write comedy humor, mm-hmm. comedy episodes for sitcoms and stuff, there are a number of people who read the scripts and make changes because, well, that's not, can we make this person a transgender? Or can we do this? Or can we do that? You know, and they start sticking their own opinions into the script. That's
they
why
boil down the rock until you got a pebble. You got no content anymore.
That's true. You know, that's why a lot of people don't like to shoot movies in Hollywood, because when you shoot a movie in Hollywood, a whole bunch of different people look at the script before it gets shot. Many times, the script that a screenwriter wrote is not anywhere near the script that is being shot, you know, a few months down the road, because everybody's changed. Everybody's made a change to the script, you know?
Oh, I agree.
Anyway, I didn't mean to go off on a little bit of a tangent there. And by the way, that was not Jerry Springer. I just want to make sure everybody knew. I think it would have been a really interesting interview had they got Jerry Springer for that. But a lot of stuff going on over the next few days. These different riots at these different colleges, you got to keep an eye on them because we don't know whether they're going to disappear or whether they're going to explode, whether they're going to become more violent and more pronounced. Right now, it looks like Columbia, it might be. Now, I saw pictures of riot troops arriving this morning at Columbia, so there are still groups there, and there are still police moving in to move those groups out. So it's not over yet, you know.
But you got riots all over on, you know, all over the country on campuses going on. And, you know, it's organized.
Right. It is. And we don't have an idea where it's going to go. Now, do they, when they planned all of this, did they have a plan for this point in the process? Meaning, did they have, okay, now the police are going to come in. When the police come in, here's what we're going to do, you know?
Well, I don't know if it's a distraction for something else that's going on, or there is a plan, and then we just got to wait for the next shoe to fall. I don't know.
It's going to be a crazy few days. This is something, by the way, that I don't think would have happened had Trump been president. I just don't think it would have happened. He would have gone in there and he would have put an end to it like right away.
And now, what I got to wonder, you know, well, will Trump even get back in? But let's say he does. Do you not think that because this, I don't even want to say the Democratic Party. There's an undertow there. There's really something dark and evil that, and it perpetrates both sides. But they have a plan to back up their plan to back up their backup plan. And they probably go, you know, if all hell breaks loose and, we're getting thrown in jail and Trump takes over, this is what we've got to do. Mm. They've got the next thought out there because they're not going down. And I don't want to say they're not going down without a fight. They're not going down. They'll take the world out.
The difference between 1967 and now, if you remember the situation in, I guess it was 68, a Democratic convention in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the police went in there with riot gear and just, I mean, there was a lot of billy clubs being swung around, but they dispersed them. They got rid of them. And I think that's, I hate to say this, Bill, you know, it's already been proven that appeasing these people serves no end, no good end. They say, okay, we'll wait. You know, like what happened yesterday, we have a 2 o'clock deadline, and 2 o'clock came and went, and then we have a 3 o'clock deadline, and that came and went. You know, at some point you got to say you're out of here. If you don't leave now, that supposedly the university said yesterday afternoon, if you're not off the campus grounds by such and such a time, you're going to be expelled.
And well, usually when you protest, you have demands that you want. What are their demands exactly?
Well, they don't want the Jewish students to have equal access. They don't want to have the university to have any kind of a relationship with Israel. I mean, this is stuff that
number one, the school is private property, and it's their business what they do and who they who they address and don't address.
Well,
and they're unwelcome guests right now, as far as I'm concerned. But the school's got to grow some cojones and just sit there, and it's their property, it's private property, and just say, that's it, we're done.
By the way, there were some professors who were out there participating in the demonstration. I would fire them in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. I would have just sat there and said, hey, I hope you have fun protesting. By the way, this is private property. I want you to take it off. And while you're taking off, don't even clear out your office, because it's private property. What's yours is ours. We'll look over and make sure there's nothing there that we need to know about, and then we'll take it, we'll put it in a box, and we'll put it on the sidewalk with your name on it.
Mm.
Come and get it.
But they don't have the administration I'm talking about. They don't have the backbone that you would expect them to have. If they were an administration,
they don't want to offend anybody.
Oh yeah, well, you know, there are students, and we don't want to offend our students. No. Your students are the ones who are doing things right, who are not participating in this demonstration, who are being inconvenienced by all of this. Dare I say, your Jewish students are part of that. They have as much of a right to your campus as any of these demonstrators, maybe more so. So, hey, did you see where the International Criminal Court is preparing to issue an arrest warrant for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and other top senior Israeli officials? I mean, these people are nuts. Now, mind you, this International Criminal Court, I think they're based in Hague, The Hague, they are, I guess they're run now by a lot of Middle Eastern countries, you know, Muslim countries. So it really isn't this neutral court that you would expect it when you say the International Criminal Court. You know, oh, my goodness, that must be fair and down the middle. No. They have a political agenda. And Benjamin Netanyahu went on television, and he just went after him. Hey, he said, you have no jurisdiction here. We're not a participant in your court system. But even if we were, we would not acknowledge this. You have to understand that International Court was created after World War II because of the atrocities that were done against Jews, he said. He came right out. He said, now you are turning around and coming after Jews. Isn't that a bit hypocritical? Nowadays, this is what they call in basketball the full court press by the left. They're going after everybody with everything. They're going after Trump with everything. Did you heard about Trump and the documents, right? You heard that FBI planted a lot of those documents?
Yeah. I think we talked about that yesterday, and even Trump came out and said this was a big setup. Now, what they did, if you don't know, is, you know, Trump's out of the office. He's down in Mar-a-Lago, and the FBI goes, Hey, you know, there's some boxes here. You forgot those. We'll ship them down to you. Now, they did that. Now, they also came in with other stuff. And, you know, look at that. There's documents in the bathroom. There's documents in the closet that were all properly laid out because it was a photo op, folks. It was an optic. It was set up. Hey, you forgot these boxes over. Well, don't worry. We'll get them to you. Now we got a reason to go and throw a warrant at you, and then you're going, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
And you know what gets me? When they actually did that search of Mar-a-Lago, they moved all of Trump's people out of the building. So they had complete and total private access of the Mar-a-Lago. So they could set everything up. They could put the boxes wherever they wanted to put them. They could lay them out just the way they wanted to lay them out. And they did. This was all staged. And by the way, friends, don't think for one second this wasn't at the behest of one Joseph Robinette Biden.
Well, it was.
It
I
was.
Mean, the redacted, the unredacted evidence shows Biden ordered it. It's just like, a lot of people, if you own property right now, and you sit there and go, wow, the capital gains is going to kill me because he's coming after everyone. He's got a 50% tax on the rich that he's going after. Well, tax the rich, feed the poor, because that's where it's going. But the other thing that he's doing is capital gains. You make money on anything, the government wants it, so you're not making. What's the purpose of owning? What's the purpose of going? What are you working for? No, you're working for Joe Biden, but in that is a little hidden clause. They plan to hit Trump with a $1 billion tax bill this fall.
I heard
and it
somebody,
comes from Joe Biden.
I heard somebody say that actually it's not, usually capital gains, you have to pay on it when you sell it. Meaning if you buy it at one price and you sell it at another price, then that's when you pay the capital gains. What Biden wants to do is that it's an ongoing reevaluation of the property. Meaning if you bought it this year or last year at X dollars, this year it's worth a little more, then you have to pay on that estimated increase in value,
And so then home improvements, that's going to kill the home improvement business. Oh. Wait a minute, I'm going to lose money on this? You know what? Let me take a sledgehammer to the side over here in the back. Yeah. Sorry, man. That's,
Well, they have no shame, the Biden administration. You know, this is the guy who turns around and gives billions of our dollars away like it's candy. And then he turns to us and says, we need more of your money. And then he expects everybody to, we love Biden. We're going to vote for Joe Biden. If you vote for Joe Biden, I would submit that you are just not paying attention. Well, you are absolutely clueless as to what's going on in our world.
You know, I got out the Google Maps and I just found out that if you're riding with Biden this fall, you're on the highway to hell. It's a highway to nowhere. It's going straight down.
Well, he's not a nice guy. He's not a good guy. And he, by the way, that construction worker in New York who told Joe to F you,
They probably went after him.
Well, Joe was supposedly he was very ticked off at that. I just leave it at that. So if I were that construction worker, I would keep my personal details as secret as you can secret. You can keep it. Keep a low profile because.
Well, let me tell you something. Don't think that they don't have voice recognition. Well, you're sitting here, they gotta find out where you are. You know, let me just give you a simple piece of reality that your phone can be off. It has residual residual charge in it, that it's always on, and they can sit there. You turn your phone off. You set it over the table over there. It's still monitoring. Now you go, Bill, that's far-fetched. Well, how many people have the Google little little round thing or the Alexa or whatever you name it? You have the watch, the Apple Watch.
Yeah.
You have all of that.
It's always listening.
Yeah. It's always sitting there listening and everything you do. Why do you think that you'll be sitting there going, and I'm going to hate myself for doing this, saying, I'm thinking about, I just bought a new car. I'm going to upgrade the stereo system in it. I just don't like that. Well, now I know I'm going to get hammered as soon as we get off this podcast. I'm going to get hammered with ads for everything because it's already done that.
Mm-hmm.
It's listening all the time. So if it's doing that for the advertising, Google now is going to be the clearinghouse for the government for monitoring people and everything. If you don't believe me, you can Google that.
Look
it up.
Now, maybe this is a good time to mention what's going on with us. We have been selected, I guess, by some social media platforms, targeted a bit. All of a sudden, after months and years of putting our stuff out there, all of a sudden they're saying, well, it's doesn't meet our standards and we're pulling down your post, which is the show. And that's nonsense, folks. Everything we do, everything Bill and I do, we could do on any commercial radio station in the United States because that's our background. That's where we come from. Yes, we have opinions. Yes, we are conservative, but we are not foul-mouthed or, you know, obscene. We don't. By the way, Facebook, they tell me that we're pulling your post down because it's controversial or whatever the heck it is. And then in the same breath, I get these unsolicited, unwanted people who want to be my friends, young girls with basically no clothes on. And this is on Facebook. This is the worst I've seen it. And I'm thinking, wait a second, what's going on with Facebook? They're pulling our stuff down and we're being...
You will see a video of a young lady in tights laying on her back with her knees up, legs spread, doing pelvic pushes with a close-up of the clothes crawling right up everywhere the sun don't shine. And then you're telling me that's totally kosher?
I'm not telling you that. I think it's obscene. I think it's obscene, and I think that should be policed. But they're not policing it. They're not policing that. That's okay because all that's doing is corrupting our youth. You know, all that is, as far as allowing you guys to have a personal political opinion that goes against what we believe, essentially, is what they're saying, they pull it down.
Google, you know, and Facebook are just a branch, the shills of the government, and they just everything, but they hear everything on or off. Those devices hear everything. Hey. And if they're telling the advertisers on you of what you're thinking so that they can sell stuff to you, are they telling the government on you because they're already shadow banning stuff and they're coming in, and if you do something, you'll get a message that, I'm sorry, but this does not, you can be typing something now.
During the 2020 election, you had to, there are election laws as far as contributions go that you and I have to abide by. We can't go beyond a certain point. I forgot exactly how much it is, but it's not more than a few thousand dollars. That's supposed to be sacrosanct. You can't go beyond that limit. But then a guy like Mark Zuckerberg comes along, and he puts like 400 million or 400,000, I forgot whether it was million or thousand, a large chunk of money.
I think it was millions.
Millions into the 2020 election. And no one criticizes him for it. It's like, oh, okay, that's Mark Zuckerberg. He can do it.
Well, they probably have some loophole way, and it's probably just words on a sheet of paper that gives them a loophole. Well, it is words on a sheet of paper that gives them a loophole to do it. But you or I couldn't do it. I mean, I could sit there and I could discover something that becomes the widget of all times, and I make a... you know, $100 billion. Well, then all of a sudden I'm going, you know what? Let's take 800 million, give it to the Trump campaign directly.
Oh, no. You can't do that.
Well, I can't. Why not? It's my money.
Well, it's Trump. It's Trump. You can't give it to Trump. Now, if you want to give it to Joe Biden, no problem.
Really?
Yeah.
What if I don't like Joe Biden?
Well, that's your problem.
Hey, anyway, I'm glad you straightened that out for me. I didn't know that. Is that in a rule somewhere, constitution somewhere about
it's
that?
It's the Biden rule.
Oh, the Biden rule.
Yeah, it's my money. Your money is my money, and my money is my money, yes. Anyway, that is just about going to do it. If you want to contact us, by the way, again, our show is posted every day around 10:30 Eastern time. Okay? It's usually available on our website between 10 and 10:30. So... I used to post the program on Facebook every day, but odds are they're not going to let me do it. So if that's the case, you have to work around it, friends. It's their sandbox. So all you do is you go to our website, www.itsanotherday.com or www.jimandbill.com, and you'll see the latest show up there about 10:30, okay? And also, you get all of our contact info, our email address, and our phone number. Anything else you want to add there, Bill?
I was just saying it's May Day. You know what else is happening today? The Fed gets together to decide on, rates, if they're going to raise the rates or lower the rates.
Mm-hmm.
At one time, they thought they were going to lower them, but I don't think – don't hold your breath on that today. They could go up, but at the very best for you – is nothing happens because this is the Biden economy.
Bidenomics.
Bidenomics, which, you know, you could look at your checking account and your savings account and just go, hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.